Peter, appreciate you joining us. I wanted to get right into it. I know our time is short. MMQB, your 26 awards that you handed out, 26 voters. What was the most difficult award for MMQB to hand out? You've got it up on your website today.
Well, you know, the one thing we tried to do this year, because I'm one of the voters in the AP votes, and the AP votes to me are difficult because they ask you to pick one guy. Baseball, if you're voting for MVP, you go 1 through 10, 1 being the most valuable, and then you go down. And I've always thought that it's silly, especially in a year like this. I would assume, and I don't know this, but I would assume that Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP this year. But so if you have one vote, there's 50 voters for that, and Aaron Rodgers gets whatever it is, 38 votes, 42 votes. Is that really reflective beating Tony Romo or DeMarco Murray or J.J. Watt 38-3 with a bunch of other guys getting one vote? Is that reflective of how close the race was? I don't think so. So what I wanted to do this year was give everybody a chance to vote for their top five at MVP, Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year, all that. And, you know, so we did that, and I thought it was kind of interesting that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, which is very justified. But after that, you know, J.J. Watt got half the number of votes that Rodgers did. So I thought that was really interesting, and I thought it was telling based on what we've seen in this season with Watt having one of the best defensive seasons the guy's ever had.
And on top of that, as you said last week, you thought this would be the case, but you weren't sure. Bruce Arians gets Coach of the Year and Todd Bowles gets the Assistant Coach of the Year.
You know, I very well deserved on both sides. The biggest reason, I think, is because when you look at this season and the way it's gone, you got to take it as 17 weeks. If you looked at the last 4 or 5 weeks, you would say, boy, you know, Cardinals have really fallen. Somebody else should win these things. But if you look at the year as a whole, there's no way you would say that, because the year as a whole shows that, you know, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles were both dynamite at their jobs for the full season.
You know, Peter, we all know what's gone on out here, so I want to focus on Carolina for a couple of minutes. You know, Tony Dungy the other night said he likes Carolina to make a run on Sunday Night Football. What's gone right there for them recently from your view?
Being able to run the ball very, very well late in the season with a variety of guys, and basically getting a wake-up call on defense that came far, far too late for them to be a really good team. But all that matters at this point is, especially if you can get one home game, you get in the Derby, and if you get one home game, who knows what happens after that. But for the Carolina Panthers to be in the final 12, I don't think is that much of a stunner. If they got in the final 8, especially if they could beat a team that is as good on defense but obviously struggling on offense as Arizona is, I think that would be a great accomplishment for them this year.
Is it a situation in Carolina where Cam Newton, we know about the accident, was it a bit of a wake-up call for him? Has anybody done that angle with him on his career? And because it's been up and down.
That is a really, really good question. I mean, my thought on Cam right now is that he really has had a difficult year, having nothing to do with what's going on off the field. But think about Cam Newton. When you have as difficult a year, your whole offensive line is rebuilt, you know, over the year. And then all of your receivers, almost all of your receivers, are brand new. So you look at it and you say, this guy has really had to put up with a tremendous amount this year that most guys don't have to put up with. And so I hand it to him. I think he's had a good year under the circumstances.
When you look at the playoffs, are you one of those that's into teams rising like Dallas, or is Seattle still the team to beat because they're at home, even though Dallas beat them earlier this year?
The interesting thing for Seattle, in my opinion anyway, is that, you know, the most dangerous team for Seattle, pardon me, is Dallas, because Dallas went up to Seattle this year and beat them.
Right.
And yet before they would have to face each other, it's likely that Dallas would have to go to Green Bay. I mean, obviously, Dallas will have to go to Green Bay. And, you know, if that happens, you know, I mean, I think Green Bay is going to beat Dallas in Green Bay. But if Dallas got the energy and got pumped up by winning a game, you know, in Green Bay and then had to go to Seattle, all of a sudden, I think Dallas becomes a very dangerous team in Seattle. You know, that's their, you know, that's a little bit of their kryptonite this year. I think that would be a real dangerous game for the Seattle Seahawks if they had to face Dallas with its ability to throw it and run it so well.
Peter King, the MMQB. Before I let you go, a couple other questions. Ndamukong Suh, do you expect him to win the appeal and play this weekend?
I think he's got a decent chance to win the appeal. As for whether I expect it, I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I doubt it. But if anybody could win the appeal, he's going in front of Ted Cottrell. Now, Ted Cottrell let Ed Reed off the hook a couple of years ago. And when he let Ed Reed off the hook a couple of years ago, I think that set the stage for people thinking, well, maybe Ndamukong Suh has a chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if he won the appeal. But again, I mean, it's in Cottrell's hands, and we'll see by the end of the day today.
Last question for you, Peter. Todd Bowles' name is out there front and center. Of the jobs that's available, what is the best of the jobs that are available that Todd could be linked to?
If I were him, I'd really want to get involved in Atlanta. And again, I don't know if Atlanta's interested in him right now, but mm-hmm. I think that's the best job right now. It's got a quarterback who really wants to be great, and I think has a chance to be great in that system. So I would want the Atlanta job. I'd be afraid of Chicago. I think it's a little bit toxic. And I'd like the Oakland job a little bit.
Hmm.
As long as you're going to get control to do what you need to do with Mark Davis, I don't think that's a bad job at all. I mean, that's the best Oakland job in, I'd say, 8 or 10 years, with the best young talent that they've had in a while.
Happy New Year's. Safe travels. Stay well. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks very much, Brad. Take care.
You too. There's Peter King with us every week. Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer.